Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who've found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it's common. Luckily, I'm here to help provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Hims provides you with convenience and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your own couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like minoxidil that help you regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewables, oral, they got spray and serum treatments to find what works best for you. Process is simple and 100% online, so there's no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, those are all you got to do, and a medical provider will determine if the treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visible, thicker and fuller hair. Start your free trial online. Visit today at hims.com/drinkingbrossports. That is hims.com/drinkingbrossports for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinkingbrossports. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Ross Patterson Revolution, kids. Kidding. You saw the intro there at the top. It might be in the video. It might not be. What you reckon there? I don't care. Is it up? Are we live?
It's
on YouTube?
Live. We're live now, but I'll cut it in.
Who cares? They know all of us at this point. You know what I'm saying? They know all the shows over here. It happens. So let's roll with it. College football today. And that's why I'm fine with it, because Ohio State's still on there. Obviously, we were brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Ooh, you can hear that hard AF seltzer cracking open. So Ohio State made it. Can't believe it. You know the rules, kids. We're going to go over last week and then get into the Thursday and Friday night games, which will determine who is playing for the national championship. Dan, I'll start with you. Are you happy with the four teams that are in there?
Yeah, I think it's right.
You think those are the best four?
The only team that really got fucked in any kind of way is Oregon. You know, it's difficult to beat a team twice. I think that the seeding part, we've discussed this kind of ad nauseum at this point, but the seeding was clearly incorrect for this.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, Arizona State and Boise should not have gotten byes.
No, that's the dumbest thing about, you'll just see like ESPN narratives, right? It's like, all the top seeds lost. It's like, yeah, but two of them were clearly worse.
Yeah.
Like clear.
There were no surprises, I'll say that. The surprise was actually how competitive Arizona State was. That was the surprise, but it wasn't that they lost, certainly.
Yeah.
It's a major conference, Big 12.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
It's not. Dude. Big 12 is not a, it's a P3.5 at this point.
They would have won the game if Tyson played.
They should have won the game without him.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that here. So, in my opinion, for what this seeding was, yes, this is correct, but we've got to fix this next year. I know it's going to 14 and then 16, which is bananas to me, because I still don't think there's four teams that are great for this. And yes, I agree with you. Oregon definitely got boned in this whole process, going 13-0, winning the Big Ten championship. Mm-hmm. They should have played either SMU first or Boise or Clemson or somebody like that. Mm. Not Ohio State. That's a death wish.
I think they should probably do two buys for the one seed like next year or something.
Maybe, or just honestly, just as far as it goes, at the very least, it should just be like college basketball, where winning your conference is an auto bid, but it doesn't guarantee your seed.
Yeah.
It helps your seed.
I agree.
But it doesn't guarantee you a buy, right? Because like there's plenty of one seeds in the NCAA tournament, or two seeds for that matter, that are not conference champions.
But I think the playoff's going to work, because I think Ohio State is probably going to win the national championship at this point. They're not in a 14 playoff.
They're not. And that's what I wanted to chat with you guys about in particular, because Dan and I and Derek talked about this a little bit on Monday night. I was a few seltzers deep, obviously, because I was getting that ass tattoo, which isn't sweet. Congratulations to the Broncos on that. But for a team like Ohio State and NIL and everything that's happening, I know I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it over and over and over again. I don't like it. I don't mind if they would have missed the playoffs. I love the fact that the greatest rivalry in sports is Ohio State-Michigan. That game, from as far back when I was in college, we finished number 2 3 years in a row when I was in college. And it was simply because we lost to Michigan. I like that it means that much. I like that the ratings are that much and that everybody in the world is watching that rivalry. Now, if Ohio State wins the national championship, everybody Ohio State-wise and everybody else can say, meh. So what does this game really mean in the future?
I think we just got to readjust expectations moving forward, because, I mean, before the college football playoff, there was the BCS. And before the BCS, it was just newspaper writers naming national champions. Like, teams wouldn't even play, and they'd be like, you know what? They look the best. They went 9-1 this year. They're the national champions.
Also, I mean, again, to compare it to the other major college sport, Duke and North Carolina don't hate each other any less.
Yeah, they play 2-3 times, maybe 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Yes, but that system has been in place for a very long time.
Yeah, but we don't really have that in college football, right? Like, this form of the playoff, the 4-team playoff, has only been around since 2013.
14.
Yeah. So for me, over time, and just looking at it over the last, let's just take when I was in school in the 90s, from now, 90s started off with just two teams. There was always a gripe of, could there have been a third? And it was voted on by writers. And yeah, somebody always got fucked. So I understand them going to four teams.
So the BCS was 98. So before that,
I
started in 95. So I started school in 95. There was two teams. They were voted in by writers. And
pre-BCS, there was like a 3-4 year period where it was, there was still a championship game, but yeah, it was different. Like,
but we also got a tie, and that was Michigan's previous national championship. And I think it was 97.
It was Brady's greasy. Yeah.
Yeah. Brady was a backup, and though. Woodson. He wasn't a starter. And yes. And
yeah. Yeah. Charles yes. Woodson.
It was a very good team. Excellent
Probably the
team.
Best team in the country. Honestly, like, that team was ridiculous.
Well, when they played Ohio State was loaded, and it came down to a field goal. And then they ended up going on and tying for the national championship. But even that tie had to be voted on by the writers. And I didn't like that. So going to four made sense to me. But let's look at the last 10 years, even with the four teams. There was always a team that I thought you could leave off, and I was just like, eh.
Been a lot of blowouts.
It's different, though. Like, I think this playoff has proven that the 12-team format works, right? Like, Ohio State's going to go on to get hot. They changed some things. They're going to win the national championship.
But do you guys honestly believe they deserve to, yes, is the question.
I do. I like this format. I like more football. I like teams that could, get hot at the end and just, you know, run the table.
And to be honest, this probably would have happened if you just talk about Ohio State. It almost certainly would have happened no matter what, because they had to change the way they play football, mm-hmm, right? And the way that they've changed the way they play football is going to make them better than anybody else that's in this tournament, seed, regardless of anybody's seeding, right? They could have played Oregon and the Natty. They could have played them in round one. They would have beat them either way. We watched the game. They would have beat them either way, right? Because of this style of football that they're playing.
Correct.
Where they're actually doing what you've been begging them to do all season.
Since the Nebraska
game. Just take the thing that you have the best, your fucking four NFL wide receivers, and throw to them all the time, and then run draws off of that. Don't run first. I know that Kelly loves his split back, blah, 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 man. But fuck.
Yeah,
but... Anyways, the end result of this is that Ohio State played to its peak capabilities. It was because of injuries, frankly.
Yes, that is the only reason why.
But it still happened, right? And it would have happened this way either way because of those injuries. So the tournament had nothing to do with that.
Well, they wouldn't have made it if there was a four team. And now you can look back and say, okay...
They absolutely should have.
Who would it have been,
I guess? We looked on Bob, so you guys... weren't there for this, but I looked it up on Sunday night when we were doing the recap show. But there have been quite a few NFL wild card teams that have won Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah,
more than we thought there would be.
Yeah. So right? here's the question. Oh, some of them are great teams too, by the way.
That Giants 9-7 Giants team.
You remember the Broncos teams that won back to back? The first year the Broncos was a wild card team, and that was a loaded. It was the exact same team the next year that won 13 games. Yep. So here's the question that really we come down to, because we bitch about this from both sides, depending on the sport, right? When you only have a four-team playoff or a two-team championship in college football, right, things get really fluky, and maybe a great team gets punished for a bad game.
Yep.
But then you go, and the MLB...
Which is going to happen even if there's only one sometimes.
Right, and the MLB is the same way, right? You don't reward the best team. You reward the team that... gets luckiest in the system. And that's kind of how college football was to an extent. Now, granted, those teams were still super talented for the most part, but breaks go certain ways and teams get lucky, and it's not necessarily the best team that gets rewarded. However, you can then go to the other side of that we complain about all the time, which is the NBA is boring as shit because in any given year, only like four teams have a chance to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're putting in... Here's why the NBA ratings are down across the board. Not only do you have load management, but you have every fucking team gets into the playoffs, it feels like. What is there, 10 on each side now?
Yeah, the regular season's pointless, but even when you get into the playoffs, there's still only... It's gotten a little better in the last 5 years, but for the last 20 years, 30 years before that, there were only three teams.
But that's kind of different now in college football, is the talent's being spread amongst all the college football teams with NIL.
Which is going to be like... It's going to cause more of this. They're going to be... Football is about, and I don't care at what level, by the way, it is about head coaching and quarterbacking, right? People say defense wins championships. There isn't a single goddamn team in the history of the NFL or college that went on some long run of multiple Super Bowls, multiple titles, that didn't have an elite coach and elite quarterback. Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, right? Fucking Belichick, Brady, Reed, Mahomes.
You mean multiple?
Yes.
Yeah. That's not like the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Ravens or a one-off.
Okay, that is how it is. So great football, and you can tell, given enough time, that's the thing that matters the most, is the combination of great head coaching and great quarterback play. That's the thing that matters the most. So everything else is kind of a fluke off of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more data you get, the more accurate a result you get. So people are like, the best team didn't win because they got fucked in one game. That's true in a BCS. That's true in a four-game playoff. In a 12-game playoff, Oregon got exposed, right? And I don't mean that they're not a good team. I mean that they play a style of football in the same way that the goddamn Tampa Bay Rays and the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers for all those years play, which is great for the regular season. And when you get to the playoffs, it's a problem. Timing-based offenses in football are kind of like Moneyball style offenses in baseball. It becomes a problem. Washington, a couple of years ago, got their fucking shit pushed in.
But let's say
so did TCU. When they finally played a real team with a real defense that could lock down for that one game, they got butt fucked. Well,
But if Oregon had a warm up game, because as a Braves fan, Bob, this is what I brought up the other night.
We've been bitching about this for 3 years.
Yes. And that's what I am bitching. Like, I understand people bitching about this playoff system because of that. If Oregon would have had a warm up game, do you think they would have played better against Ohio State?
It's a timing based offense. Of course they would.
And that's a problem more in college than the NFL, where everyone's really elite and professionals, and a bye is actually a good thing. I think for college, because you see it, it's not just the elite teams. You see it in bowl games all the time, too.
All the time.
Yeah. All the fucking time. The offenses take a while.
So in this format right here, Oregon should have been playing Arizona State in a second round game, or somebody, or Clemson, or somebody like that.
Right.
Who they would have handled.
Yeah.
Period. Or even Tennessee. Right. So Ohio State should have been where Arizona State is. They should have been fourth. They should have gotten a bye, probably, or maybe Texas, but one of those two teams.
Well, or Penn State.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's bring that up, because here's who I have. I have Oregon at one. Let's say this was a four-team format. Oregon at one.
No. Talk about it in the 12th.
Yeah.
They should have played in the second round, because it would have been a warm-up
game. I will.
But against Tennessee or Clemson or Arizona State or SMU or Boise, whomever won that first-round game, Indiana.
Totally. But
it would have been a warm-up. Notre Dame would have been the problem. But first you have to identify
the top four.
Yeah.
So the top four would have been Oregon, Georgia, maybe?
Yes, they won the SEC.
They won the conference championship.
Yeah, Georgia, for sure.
So Notre Dame at three?
No.
Yeah, probably Notre Dame.
They got one loss.
We've got to force them into a conference at some point, but yeah, let's just say for the sake of argument, Notre Dame, and then it would have been...
Who's four?
It's either Texas or Penn State.
It would have been Ohio State because they beat fucking Penn State.
Then it would have been Texas, who only had two losses that year to one team.
Correct. Who was number two in the country?
Texas would have been fourth.
Texas would have been fourth.
So they would have gotten the other bye. So the potential for... Oregon running into Ohio State in that first round, I guess, would still be there, but it would be more likely that they would be in a different part of the bracket because of seeding.
By the way, get rid of fixed seeding.
The eighth seed for Ohio State is a fucking joke.
Fixed seeding.
That was a gift. Mm-hmm.
Fixed seeding only makes sense for the NCAA tournament because of travel and shit like that. Like, you have to keep people in the same place. You can't make a team fly across the country in 2 days and play another game because, you know, they're on the ones, whatever the fuck.
I agree.
But for football games where you have a full week in between, yeah. You need to just reshuffle the fucking lineup, reshuffle the deck every round.
Yeah, I agree. And it's got to be reseeded and all that other stuff. And I think they will change like that going into next year. And maybe that will make these games better. And then I'm not so sour on it.
It's not good. We're not going to see. Let's look at the Bob, pull up the NFL bracket right quick. And it's not a bracket, but pull up the NFL.
Oh, the playoffs?
The playoffs, yeah. Oh, no, I guess it is a bracket here.
They reshuffle every round.
They reshuffle. So the Chiefs will play the lowest seed winner of 4 through 7.
Yeah.
Or 2 through 7,
excuse me.
So
probably the Chargers.
Or, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, 4 through 7. So it'll be the Chargers, the Steelers, or the Broncos. That's who the Chiefs will play in the second round.
I got the Chargers.
And any of those games, that's a win.
Yeah.
And it should be, right? It should be competitive enough, but it should be that there's a reason we have favorites and not favorites, right? So it should be like that. The Lions are going to play probably the Redskins. The Packers are all fucked up now. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love's fucked up and their number one receiver's out for the year season, now, right?
Yeah,
so it's probably going to be the Redskins, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that.
Vikings.
The Redskins will be the lowest seed team they play, right? So they might end up catching the Vikings again, which I think I picked
the Rams on the NFL show the other night.
Yeah. I'm just saying the lowest possible seed that they would play, right? But the Lions should beat any of these teams except for the Eagles are the only ones that really have a shot at beating them.
Well,
right? And they won't run into the Eagles until the conference championship.
Stafford, Goff in that second round, mark my words, dude. That'll happen. I really believe that.
It'd be a great game. It'd be really fun
because it was a great game last year.
Yeah, but that's the point. The Lions aren't going to run into the second best team. And let's be real clear about this. Oregon was the best team, and Ohio State was the second best team. Texas was not the second best team this year.
No. And I didn't learn that until the Arizona State game.
Yeah. That's kind of how it is. You've got to, and whatever you've got to do it. I'm not saying one system works over another, but this one's clearly dumb. If you seed it with fucking low tier conference winners getting auto bid buys, mm-hmm. combinations, that doesn't make sense because you're going to get that. You're going to get a high profile matchup in the second round. Every single year you'll get one if you do it that way. Because it'll always be K-State or Arizona State or somebody from the Big 12 that gets in there that just doesn't belong in the top four.
Right. So if they reseed it, this will be a different conversation next year.
That seems like a no-brainer. I understand an auto bid for sure. Boise State for sure should have been in this, right? I'm not saying
in the top 12,
yeah, in
but
the
not
top
a 12. Buy.
No, but not a buy. Come on, man.
When they walked out on that field, and Dan, we're Delco here on this one. I'm getting into your territory right now, and the audience is starting to root for this. I am well over your $25,000 capacity, your dream for the year, mm-hmm. and it is only because of what has gone on over the last 6 weeks total. I was 8-0 in these playoff games. I obviously post the bet slips in my bookie.
I know why you hate
from on the thing. Because it was all favorites. So, that was going into the playoffs.
Take advantage.
Before the break. I did. You guys thought there was going to be more upsets for some reason. Well, to me, the one that got jobbed in all of this.
Arizona State.
Yes. And I have a real fucking hard time with that one.
That was definitely targeted, yep. Right?
Yes. 100%.
Not that it matters, right? Like, to get in the field goal range, but Arizona State didn't have a kicker.
But they were that would have put the ball around the 30 with 2 minutes on the clock with Scadabo running it up the middle. They couldn't stop Scadabo at the end.
Well, he was puking on the end. Like, he was on the sidelines just doing his best Donovan McNabb.
Well, when you put an entire team of 53 people on your back like he did, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man.
I don't even know one other person's name on that team besides him. And that was one of the greatest performances I've seen out of a college athlete in a long time.
Levitt played pretty well, the quarterback.
He did. Yeah. He did good enough, but like, dude, let's face it. Going through that Texas defense, because those front seven for Texas, my God, man. They're the biggest I've seen in real life, and Dan and I have seen all these teams in real life.
That was the biggest thing I noticed in every single game, and that's why it was so pathetic that the Texas game was so close, because you could see
size,
who was stronger, yep. And yeah. Who was bigger, and you could see it in Penn State.
Oh, it's the same thing with Penn State Boise, right? Like, were getting 10 yards of carry against Boise, and just frankly decided not to run the ball. Yeah.
To be fair, Penn State they've got 2,000-yard rushers. And, you know, that's something they can go back to the well on. I don't, Bob, you can look this up, but I'm pretty sure that Meisner, however you say his name, for Texas, who's been decent during the year, but he's been shut down a couple of times. He only had like 58 yards against Arizona State.
No, but Blue had 146 yards. He's also a very good running back for Texas.
Meisner has had big games.
He has, but Blue has been fucking great all year. I mean, he's got 714 yards.
It was just Wisner. Blue didn't have shit in this game.
He's got 714 yards.
Against Arizona State, Jaynon Blue had 4 yards on 4 carries. Quintravion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Clemson score. Yeah. I apologize.
He torched Clemson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Wisner on against Arizona State had 18 carries for 45 yards.
Yeah.
They got shut. So my first instinct was, did Texas get up and then fucking stop playing? Right. I don't know if it's true or not.
What happened with Texas got predictable and lazy, and the play calling got
bad. They scored 14 points in 3 plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really, like, look, they went up 14-3 and started celebrating until the fourth quarter. It was bad. They got really lazy really fast. But you could see all through the first half that Texas was clearly bigger and stronger and probably have more depth, and they just shit their pants.
Yeah, it was 17-3 at halftime, and then they got 5 points for Arizona in the third quarter there that kind of beefed it up. But for me, as I was watching it, and I told this story to Dan, I can't remember if it was on air because I had a lot to drink the other night, but I was at a party for New Year's, and it was like, you know, 50 parents, 50 kids, all that other shit. When that targeting call happened, when the kid was just laying unconscious on the field, all the dads walked away from the television. So I didn't know that what was going on until I was on a text thread with my buddy who's a Texas fan. Shout out Casey there. Sorry about what I'm about to say. But we all assumed the game was over and that they would kick a field goal and that would be it. It wasn't until maybe 20 minutes later that I walked back to the TV and where I was like, is this game still fucking going on here? Like, this is what this is? And they were like, yeah. So I was like, did they not call targeting? And I had to go back and rewatch it when I got home there. What was the reasoning there? Because I missed it, and I don't really understand.
They're Texas, and they're playing Arizona State.
That's what I think, too.
It's all it was. Targeting is kind of arbitrary to an extent, and they erred on the side of caution.
But we all know the rules of targeting. It is shoulders, neck, and head. I watched the same play that you guys did, and then I walked away. I was like, well, this is the easiest call I've ever seen regarding targeting. Because it was just face to face. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Right, but I don't think that's game over because Arizona State does not have a kicker.
And maybe so. But I think Scadabo would at least run it in a little closer. And they would I think they would have won. And I think they got boned.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Are you playing it right now?
Yeah, it's just so funny. Like, I mean
the kid is just laid out like a snow angel for 10 minutes on the ground. I need a freeze
frame. I can't.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me find out.
Whose side is that?
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. It might be John Boy or something.
I mean, this kid just got fucking
nuked. It's head to head. The close up's even better, but
I know. I saw it from the other angle. I think I posted it, but Look at, oh my God. I mean, right there. Boom. Yeah, you can put that up on screen.
So this is essentially, I guess, like, yeah, this is the right contact. This is where contact is made.
Head to fucking head. We all walked away from the television after this. I thought this was a no-brainer. Like, for real.
Yep. You can't, you'll never feel good about this for the rest of your life if you're an Arizona State fan.
Ever. And I, you know what? I felt the same way about, remember that play with New Orleans? With the pass interference that kept them out of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Same thing.
But
I felt the same way as an Ohio State fan about the Marvin Harrison thing. And it's like, you know, the refs later came out and made a press conference and said, oh, we were wrong. That doesn't do anything for your team or your school later on. And I'm sure the same thing will happen with this fucking guy, whoever made this call.
And listen,
but the weird thing to me is this was called down from the booth, from whoever was watching it. And then they took this footage and watched this in a fucking booth somewhere and said this wasn't targeting.
And
I don't get it.
The Saints have won a Super Bowl. They'll be back. Arizona State's not going to be back.
I hope so for their sake.
No, Arizona State and Boise will not be in next year because they got in because of two elite players that are leaving now.
They are.
They're not one of those factories. Like, it's next year, Big 12 will probably be K-State or somebody like that, right?
Right. But this game in particular was the only reason why I was excited about a 12-team playoff is because maybe this could happen. And I think it would have. I think Arizona State would have won. But Texas versus Ohio State on a Friday night and the ratings of that will be bananas. And somebody clearly made the call and said, not a fucking prayer. You're putting Arizona State in Jerry World.
It's the two largest campuses in America.
Yeah. There's not a and fan bases, probably. Yeah.
And I've got to say, I mean, looking at these, the NFL first round matchups, I don't know that any of these games are going to beat either of the two college games this week, ratings wise. The only thing that the NFL has going for it, and this isn't a dig or anything, it's just, this is more about how popular these two games are because of the four universities that are involved, right?
Yep.
The only thing the NFL has going for it is that those games are on Thursday and Friday and not the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably will drive it down to some degree, but I don't know if it will. I don't think Chargers Texans or Broncos Bills or Redskins Bucks or Vikings Rams will compete with any of those four games.
Maybe, Eagles Green Bay,
maybe Steelers Ravens because it's an all time rival. It's the all time rival in the NFL.
Yep.
And, these
well, right
days,
now, yeah.
These days, right? And then Packers Eagles. That's a huge game too, with two very large diaspora fucking fan bases. Like that would be like if the Braves and the Cubs were in the fucking World Series or something. But they're not competing. There's no way they're competing with Texas, Ohio State are the two largest campuses in America.
Mm-hmm.
They're 1 and 2. And then Penn State and Notre Dame have – I don't know if there are more T-shirt fans of any university other than those two.
I just got off the phone with our distributor.
Because everybody in Pennsylvania is everybody is a Penn State fan.
I just got off the phone with our distributor. Like the amount of cans they have ordered for Hardy F
for
Penn State next
Southern
year is
New Jersey. Southern New Jersey's Penn State, half of fucking Eastern West Virginia. They're all
these
Penn State.
These fucking cans will be everywhere in March and April next
year. It's going to be a tough day tomorrow for Calf Tat. Delco.
Why?
You got to choose between your beloved Penn State that you never went to and your calf tattoo that has a shamrock and your Notre Dame Fighting Irish, even though you never went to
Have you ever? So the perfect example of this is Shane Gillis. He's a diehard Penn State fan, but he's a Notre Dame fan as well. Because
I only see him wearing Notre Dame shit.
He wears Penn State.
And he goes to all the Notre Dame games.
I don't think he likes Penn State. I think he's solely
He was wearing Penn State shit. Or maybe it was Eagles shit I saw him in.
It's Eagles. It's Eagles and Notre Dame.
Yeah. Notre Dame
T-shirt
for some reason
all the way through, but
Yeah, because
But like how many people in Pennsylvania actually went to Penn State?
More than went to Notre Dame.
That's true,
Yeah, that is very true.
There is no clear, like, Notre Dame is the funniest T-shirt fan of me because I'm just like, I get, like, you can't tell with a lot of schools, right? But you can always tell who's a T-shirt fan of Notre Dame.
But you're familiar with this in St. Louis, though. There's plenty of T-shirt Notre Dame fans.
Yes, the Catholic. Yeah. There's a lot of, like,
it's wherever Catholics are.
Catholics or anybody that's even driving distance from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And this isn't a dig at the university. It's actually that the university is so hard to get into that no one could get into it.
Everybody in Metro Chicago is a Notre Dame fan, too.
Right.
Yeah, it's all the Catholics in Midwest.
But they're not all even Catholics. It's just like it's two hours away, so that's my.
It's almost like when the Braves was on TBS and the Cubs was on WGN.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It is.
So I expect the Super Bowl gets what 120 to 130 million, something like that.
Yeah, right around 120.
I don't know. Look this up, Bob. I don't know what like a wild card round NFL playoff game usually gets. It's got to be like 20, 30 million.
Yeah,
right?
It was right around 27 last year.
I think I think both of these college games are getting 40 to 50.
Last year it averaged 31 million.
So for a wild card round?
Yeah.
Or just, okay.
Damn, dude. Yeah, the NFL's
so
on fire.
So I think, and that's great, by the way. These two college games are going to clock in somewhere between 40 and 50 mil. Both of these games.
I do too. Because you got a Thursday night game and a Friday night game, and you've got the four biggest universities.
And everybody wins.
Yeah, everybody wins across
because
the board.
NFL's got Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Like, it's five straight days of playoff football.
The loser is Arizona State.
Well, the loser is fucking anybody else that's on television.
They're not. The programming-wise, they're not even putting anything up against these games. Yeah. So.
Let's be real, though. If you were playing Arizona State this week, you're already booking the national championship ticket.
I'll put it this way. I don't even buy that ticket, Delco.
You just buy the next one.
That's what I'm saying. You're buying tickets for the national championship.
I've got tickets for the Texas game right now. Dallas is supposed to get 4 inches of snow, so it's kind of a wait and see here. But yeah, the only reason I have those tickets is because it's Texas. If it was Arizona State, not one prayer would I spend the money on tickets for that. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And that's why that call was not targeting.
Yep.
Just to be clear.
But if you're a Texas fan, what are you saying? Like, sorry, our school's richer than yours? Or like, what is it? What's the answer there?
I guess.
Just blue blood privilege, baby.
I've talked to some Texas fans. They're believing in themselves.
Yeah, they think they're going to win. Yeah.
They think they're going to win.
They do.
Yeah.
100% they do. And like, look, I forget who said this the other day, but it rings true. Ohio State right now, with the way that they're playing, only their coaching staff can stop them at this point. So if you see them run the ball a lot, well, then you know they fucked up. But otherwise, I expect them to be playing the same they've played the last two games. And right now, the spread is already jacked up to 6.5 in that fucking game. So, yeah, I mean, it started at 4, and that's how much it's moved. The line has moved over in that game, which we'll get to. But we'll go back to the other ones here, and then we'll get to the sponsors, as always, and then pick next week's games. Ohio State, Oregon, this is the one that I said for ad nauseum on this goddamn show. Change your entire offense. It's the only way to win. Could you do it in 3 weeks? Is it possible? Yes, you have Chip Kelly. He could do it. Him and Ryan Day had a meeting. Players also had a meeting with those two coaches and said, we want to let it fucking rip, and I think we can win the national championship. It's highly unusual. That is what they have done the last 2 weeks. And this is the team that we thought was going to be all year long. They have the best defense. They've already had that all year long. Now it's just what they were going to do offensively. Now they got forced into the style of offense. That's the offense they should have played all year. And they ended up trouncing Oregon. Ohio State pulled their starters midway through the third.
Yeah. So they're going to, this is going to be a really interesting week because you have Sark, who is, I've said this before, but he's the ceiling on every team he coaches. It's him.
But now we find out if Ryan Day is the ceiling that we think.
Ryan Day.
Both of those
plus
guys.
Ryan Day plus Chip Kelly, right?
Ryan Day, with the exception of this year against Michigan, Ryan Day always beats coaches of this level.
Man, and everybody that's remaining too, you got Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin will find a way to fuck it up. But
I don't believe in that Notre Dame team at all.
But let's just stay with Texas, Ohio State.
Sure.
So Texas knows that Ohio State's recent success is through running that passing game and running the run game off of it. So they've got a blitz early and often. Ohio State should know this, right? So they've got to run fucking draws early on. They have to run some run plays, some draws early on to try to exploit that. And screen plays early on.
Yeah.
They have to do that just because otherwise Texas will blitz the whole game.
You've
got to create some standoff. There's some gamesmanship that'll happen there. But Sark is not a guy for gamesmanship. He's not a guy that's going to come out with some brilliant. He's not fucking Belichick even Rex Ryan back in the day would do this to people sometimes. He would win games he wasn't supposed to just because he's fucking clever. You know what I mean? Sark is not that guy. I think Ohio State wins this game by 2 touchdowns. I think 5.5 is comically low.
I did too, and we'll get to that after the ads. We'll go through the rest of last week's games. Texas at Arizona State, we already talked about. Notre Dame at Georgia. I was shocked by this. Was anybody else?
No. I've said for like 3 months that I think Notre Dame is a contender, and I still think they are.
But is it because they had a backup quarterback? Because the kid looked like shit.
Gunnar Stockton, he didn't play terribly, especially considering
Notre Dame has an elite defense. If they get up, they can hold the lead. But if I don't know. I don't believe in Notre Dame if they're down like two scores.
No, they can't come back.
Yeah. Notre Dame, it was 3-0 in the second quarter, and then they scored, what was it, 13 points or two touchdowns or whatever it was in 54 seconds?
They only scored 16 on offense.
Yeah, that's it. And then the other play, by the way, was a fumble. So, like, was the quarterback fumbling with inside the 20-yard line? So, did they really score at all offensively?
No. They held Georgia to 62 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. That's how they won.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the game they can play. The problem with that strategy moving forward against Penn State is that Penn State's got 2,000-yard rushers, and they've got a quarterback that can run the ball as well. Right, I mean, he's a pass-first guy, but he can run the ball too. He's quick. It's and as Bob alluded to, and that's the critical part here. Notre Dame cannot come back. They cannot mount a rally. They can fucking stifle you for a whole game and outgrind you, but they cannot come back.
But was anybody shocked about Georgia besides myself?
No,
I was a little surprised. I thought Georgia would still have the depth to, and really they did. Right, they should have been down a score. They let up a terrible special teams touchdown. So it's a totally different game, I think, if they're going into the last possession or last three possessions down six, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of down 13.
I mean, it changes your strategy for sure. It opens up the playbook quite a bit more. I just don't like Nate Frazier and Trevor Etienne aren't good enough to go up against Notre Dame like that. Like, you know, you knew, and because Carson Beck was out, and not that he's all world or anything, but he's the guy that's been with the team the whole year.
And he's good enough offensively. That I think with him starting, I think Georgia wins this game.
Maybe, yeah. But like with I knew going into this game that Notre Dame would win because Stockton can't, he's not great at throwing the ball.
It was his first start ever too. So like, and the kids are young.
And
so.
You just don't have, like, Georgia didn't have the depth at running back. Like they have the two guys that they have and they're okay, but they're like 600-yard guys. They're not. Yeah. They're like Penn State literally has 2,000-yard rushers on their team.
And I've never seen a team drop more balls than Georgia. It is fucking insane, dude.
They led the league in drops.
Even in every playoff game, it is nuts, dude.
I mean, think about there's a lot of stuff where, but that's on Georgia, right? That's actually the team's fault. Whereas I think. The you could maybe call like a touchdown on a kickoff a little more of a fluky, like little fuck up. Also, by the way, maybe lost four points on that fucking dipshit walk-on's penalty, getting in the way of a ref because he was hyping up his boy running down the sideline.
By the way, I didn't think that was interference. I watched it over and over again. It seemed like the kid was behind the line, and it looked like the referee ran into him. So. I think that's why he's not taking the heat that he normally would be, like a Steve Bartman or something like that, because I looked at that replay. I thought he was behind the line. I thought the ref was a fucking dickhead for calling that. So,
yeah,
but it is what it is.
That's an 11-point swing on just weird stuff the game's the game. You play the game. It is what it is. But
yeah, but you still got to execute on offense.
Yes.
It was a 98-yard kickoff return for Notre Dame, and then that play, that is a 14-point swing.
And 11, because they still got three off a field goal.
Oh, okay.
So, but either way, though, like that's the type of thing that happens in the game. But the score is not representative necessarily of how close this game was.
No, this was a close, dirty ass game.
It was.
It's a 13-10 game. Yeah. It's what it really is in real life, right? And if you're Georgia, you don't. If you're drawing a roadmap for how you beat a team like Penn State or Notre Dame, a 13-10 game, you lose that game.
But how
you almost always, right? Because their defense is elite and yours isn't.
Yeah. But how does a Notre Dame team like this, who to me, and this is what I've said all year against good teams, they don't really score that much because Riley can't throw the ball. He runs most of it.
I mean, they're not going to. I don't know where, like,
where are the points coming from?
We talked about where the points come from with Texas and Ohio State. And with Notre Dame and Penn State, I have no fucking clue. I mean, look, and Penn State's going to have its work cut out for it as well. Notre Dame's defense is good.
Yeah.
But Penn State can operate on all three levels.
I think that will be a very close game.
Penn State can RPO, and they can also just generically run the football with two different guys. It's going to be a tough day for Notre Dame. Especially if Penn State scores early. Even a touchdown and a field goal early, and Notre Dame's going to be in trouble.
And then regarding Penn State and Boise State, I called this on the show, bet a lot of money in Drinking Bros Sports on this one particular game because it led off on a Tuesday.
As soon as
they walked out on the field, it was... Fucking, they were half the size. It was JV versus varsity, and man, you just knew right away. And everybody at this thing that I was at on New Year's Eve was just like, Jesus Christ, how fast can we bet on this?
I think Notre Dame's in trouble too, because they also, now look, maybe this is actually like, oh, Notre Dame has great special teams, but they also opened the Indiana game with a kickoff for a touchdown.
Yep.
So Indiana's offense, or Indiana's defense held Notre Dame to 20. Georgia's defense held them to 16. I don't think the points are coming.
That's what I think too. And especially with an elite defense like Penn State.
I mean, Notre Dame, especially if Penn State's Carter crazy. Plays. Yeah, he's playing. They already said he's playing.
If he plays,
like, it's going
to
be tough.
Not to mention, Drew Allar is starting to play really good. I think he's been a pretty good quarterback all year. It's just the lack of weapons, but now they're starting to kind of jive, and that offense is starting to hum a little bit.
Also, he said he's coming back, and that helps. Like, that helps the mentality of the team of like, all right, this guy's our leader, and he's coming back next year. We don't have to worry about a guessing game or anything else. And like, yeah, dude, he wants to fucking win. And I genuinely think that matters.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Catron Allen, 1,026 yards on the season. Singleton, 1,015 yards. College, when you have 2,000-yard rushers and a major conference, that's a good indicator.
Yep.
Right? And look, Allar has come along. This is his best season so far, 3,200 yards this season. His completion percentage is up at over 67% now, which is for the first time in his career. It's like, all right, maybe he'll be good, because he hasn't been.
And frankly, the only other college team with 2,000-yard backs is going to be Ohio State after this game, because each of them are 50 yards shy of reaching that mark. We'll get to the sponsors, and then we'll go through this week's picks here. First up, we got mybookie.com. Come on, dude. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie, you've seen my bets already behind the scenes. I know you were not happy about this. I know you're not happy with the last eight games. The total, I think, that I ran up was $38,000. I've hit every parlay, every teaser, every fucking straight-up game. Like, it has been awesome and hilarious, and I'm sorry, you guys, but the Delco dream might come true, and Drinker Bros are starting to talk about it. I'll put it this way. I've got right around 8 to 10 grand on these two games, and I will post those in Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook, as I always do right before these games, but I feel pretty fucking confident there. But let's say you don't. NFL games all weekend. So you got Thursday night game, Friday night game, full slate of NFL all day Saturday, full slate Sunday, and a Monday night playoff game as well, in case you're chasing the dragon, like some of us do from time to time, and then they'll give you a rake back. Bob, talk to him about the rake back there.
Look, sometimes, I guess unless you're Ross, you have a rough weekend, and you need a little, you don't have any money left in the bank, but you're a regular player at MyBookie. If you're in the MyBookie Plus reward system, which you are, if you play regularly, you don't have to sign up, don't have to pay anything other than what you play. And if you had a bad weekend or whatever, they'll toss you a little money back and say, hey, we know you need to feel something when there's sports on. Here's a little something to play with.
Exactly. And I love those guys for it. But real fortunate here the last few weeks, and it's been awesome. Sorry, MyBookie, but go to MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Now, let's say you're deciding what to gamble on these games. Is there a site that can help you out with that? Sure is. AmericanFinancing.net/DrinkingBros. Man, this is the big one here. This is the one that's going to help you out about saving money, how to use home equity. American Financing is a family-owned company. It's been around for, 25 years. I know these guys for a while, and when they hit us up, I was like, dude, I know you. I've used you, and you need it. We all need it from time to time. American Financing is they're mortgage consultants. They're all salary-based, so there's no incentive for them to put you in a loan. That doesn't make sense. Customers save right around $800 a month on average, I can think of the top of my head here, and we call them when we need help. I've used them for the seltzer company. I've used them for houses, used them for a lot of shit. You can take different amounts and all that other stuff. They don't charge any upfront fees, and they can tell you how to save in as fast as like 10 days. Sometimes if you go into these banks, it's usually 30 to 45 days in there, and you may be able to delay up to 2 mortgage payments, creating more savings upfront, so it won't affect your credit score. Again, done this in real life, so with this company, and I know how this works. They've helped hundreds of thousands of homeowners create meaningful savings. Go to their Google reviews. They're all pretty fucking good, dude. And that's where I looked to see if they were any good before I use them. January is the time to get your financial house in order and off to a good start in 2025. Even if you're doing upgrades, a friend of mine used it for a pool service as well. And obviously, I've got to do the disclaimer here, but check out Drinking Bros, our website in the sports show itself for the link. And it's AmericanFinancing.net/Drinking Bros, or you can call 866-887-2275 to learn how homeowners are saving $800 a month on average. And that is MMLS182334. And that's www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org or just www.nmlsconsumer.org. And please hit them up over there for American Financing. Next up, we got Lucy. Who's in the studio just killing the Lucy yesterday? Was that Jack?
Yeah, Mandeville.
Mandeville. That's last but not least here today. That's Lucy.co. Goddamn, he had like 90 of those fucking things yesterday. Yeah.
I told him to take as many as he wants.
Clean this out. Promo code Drinking Bros over there. Lucy is 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free. Lucy Breakers are nicotine pouches with an extra surprise. Each pouch holds a capsule that can be broken up to release extra flavor and hydration. Set yourself up with a subscription and have Lucy delivered straight to your door. My favorite flavor is this one right here, wintergreen. Boom. That's why I get a fucking ton of these. And then Jack took goddamn half the log here, so fuck off, Jack Mandeville. And the subscription is great. They just do it once a month, and it rocks. For me, strength that I use, I go with the smaller guys, dude. I'm pretty up there throughout the day, so I get a little 2 gram in my lip there. And you can go up as high as, 6 and 8, I think. I don't use those. I got to go with the little guys for me. So let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/drinkingbros. Use the promo code Drinking Bros to get 20% off your first order. Lucy has a 30-day refund policy. If you change your mind, again, that's lucy.co. Use the code Drinking Bros to get 20% off. Here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Last but not least, DrinkingBrosTickets.com. You want tickets to any of these games, you're good to go. The Texas Ohio State tickets, though, are very, very expensive right now. So not that that's a huge shock. It's a home game for Texas there in Jerry World. All right, kids, let's get to it. Notre Dame versus Penn State. The spread has been all over the fucking board. As of today, on Wednesday, the year of our Lord, 2025, January 8th at 3:35 p.m. Central Time. This is Notre Dame -1.5. Over under is 44.5. Who you got there in the Capital One Orange Bowl down in Miami?
I'm going to do a couple of things.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the first thing I'm going to do is take the Penn State money line.
Okay.
The second thing I will do is take Penn State +1.5, because why not?
Sure.
To me, I consider that to be free money, but do what you want with your money. And then I'm going to look into a teaser, a big one.
Yeah.
One of the 13-point dealios that sometimes pops around on my bookie. We'll see if they do it. But this is what I'll be looking to do. My teaser will be +14.5 Penn State. That'll be the first one. Excuse me. The second one will be Ohio State +7.
Okay.
Or no, I'm sorry. Am I doing that math right?
Yeah, you are.
It'd be +8.
I'm looking at mine right now. I'm going to text it to Rob to put up on the screen.
Yeah, it'd be +7.5, I think. +7.5. Then I'm going to add Chargers over Texans at Chargers +10. That'll be the third one. And then the fourth one is going to be Bills. It'll be Bills +5.5. Or okay. +5. I think we'll see when they open it up what the actual numbers will be, but that's going to be my 14 parlay.
Bob, go ahead and put mine up on the screen here, because I made a parlay specifically for college, and then I did one for the NFL as well.
We're going to have to talk about the Vikings-Rams as well. Again, I know we've already covered it in the other show, but there's a – so somebody just told me that the LA Kings game got moved to a different place today because of the fires.
Okay.
And it looks like this game might have to get moved as well. So I don't know where they would play it.
To where?
I don't know.
They could San Diego. Could Does it go back to San Diego?
They could go to San Diego. Dude. They could go to San Francisco. They could go to Vegas. There's a lot of NFL arenas they could take it to.
But specifically San Diego because they are the Chargers. Man, they would show up and it would be a fun, weird home game there.
No, that's Vikings Rams.
Oh, it's Vikings
Rams. Yeah. So they're definitely not going to go to St. Louis for that one.
No. No, I'm not going to say
but come on, there's stadiums around. I don't know if Inglewood is going to get affected by this stuff, but the air quality is so bad that they had to move the LA Kings game today.
Oh, for today?
Yeah, which is not very far from where SoFi is.
Yeah, so for
What is it like? I mean, it's as the crow flies 15 minutes, but it's probably 45 minutes in traffic. But smoke doesn't sit in traffic, so it's close.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, still got a lot of friends in LA. Obviously, it's worse than people know right now. Last night, it was about 80 mile an hour winds, and a bunch of things happened there. So out of water, which we'll talk about on the next show here on Drinking Bros.
Yeah, and that's
out of funding, out of everything. So like, I don't know how they play this game. I don't want to get too political on this one. I'll get it on the next one. But I don't know how they play this game in Los Angeles, in the current environment. They've already canceled premieres. Upfronts.
It's award season.
Yeah, yes. They canceled the SAG Awards.
It's award season, it's upfront season, and it's sweeps.
Yep.
For not sweeps, it's what do you call it? Pilot season.
Pilot season,
as well.
Because we're involved in that, too, this year with Street Gonzo. So it's awful, man. And when I say awful, I mean, like, they lost their entire house and businesses. Like, one of my favorite grocery stores got burned to the ground. Two of my favorite bars and restaurants got burned to the ground. Like, there's no coming back.
Yeah, it's rough.
I think they moved this game, and so I would wait to see where it is.
Well, Chris Phelan's saying that, and during the 2004 wildfires, they moved the Chargers-Dolphins game to Arizona State. That would be a good place.
Arizona State.
Yeah.
And not the...
And Phoenix.
Not State Farm Arena.
You could go to Glendale, too. Yeah, what difference does it make? Yeah. I mean, either whatever's available. The Cardinals aren't in, so that would be available.
And that's a quick flight, Chris Phelan, down from LA to there. So keep an eye on that.
It's definitely going to affect the crowd, but I don't know that the crowd is going to have too much of an effect on this game. I think the Rams are going to win this game, but we'll get to that.
We already talked about that. I've got the Rams in that game, but as far as this one goes in Penn State, all in on Penn State on this one, especially with Abdul Carter playing. I just don't know where the points come from Notre Dame. I really don't.
I would be curious. Do they have all the? I guess the game's tomorrow, so they have to. Bob, can you look on my bookie and see if they have an over for just Notre Dame?
I was about to chime in on that, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have it.
It's got to be 20?
No.
It's 23.
17.
They have it at 23.
23 for Notre Dame?
As Notre Dame's over-under.
There's not. Take that fucking under all day.
Yep, I'm
adding that one. Shit.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way Notre Dame's scoring 23
points. I was waiting
points.
To chime in with that
right?
one.
There's
I
no agree. Way. They're not going to have – you're not going to have back-to-back weeks in the playoffs where you get a random fucking call and then a kick return.
That would be the third week in a row that they would have a kickoff return for a touchdown. I don't buy it.
No. I don't either.
And they haven't. Their offense hasn't mustered 23 the last 2 weeks. So
yeah. And on my bookie, now you can put this bet on the screen here because I already placed it and I put $1,000 on it. If you bet four teams or different odds, overs, unders, everything else, just four is the only place to let you do it. They're offering a plus 13 teaser. I've used this sparingly throughout the year. I feel pretty positive on it, and I've used this twice now during the both opening rounds of the playoffs, and I'm going to use it again. I've got Penn State plus 15. I've got Ohio State plus 7. Dropped the over down on the Ohio State game to 40.5, and then I dropped the over under for the Notre Dame Penn State game down to 32.
If you lose this, it'll be because of that last bet.
Right, but here's what I think this game is. I think it is a 21-13 or 14 game. I think it's a one-score game. I think it is 21-14 in that neighborhood, and that'll push it over the 32 points. If they don't score 32 points combined, and Ohio State gets in the national championships and one of these teams has to play them, what kind of blowout is that going to be?
I think you're probably going to be fine. If you do lose it, it'll be because of that one.
Yep.
But I think you'll be fine. I think Penn State scores 28. I think they have at least one defensive touchdown. You got to think sometime in the second half, they're going to have to start throwing the ball. Leonard's going to be, because they're going to be down for sure. They're going to have to start throwing the ball. Leonard is going to be on the run for his life because Abdul Carter's a lunatic and he's going to throw a pick. It's going to happen.
I think so too. I think so too. Who do you guys got in this Penn State Notre Dame game?
So what's the line? -1?
1.5.
1.5. It doesn't matter. Penn State's a dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Money line Penn State. Yeah.
Penn State money line. And right now, take Penn State to win the national championship at 6-1.
Mm. Gross. Gross.
No. Hear me out, right? Like, you think they're going to win this game?
Yes.
So put a lot of money on them to win at 6-1 in the national championship. Then hedge. When they play Ohio State, hedge. Yeah. Win money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that, but I understand the strategy. Somebody else hit me up about that as well. As far as this over-under is concerned, 44.5 seems like a lot of points.
For
the over. In this game, do you think that hits?
No. I think it's like 28-10 or something like that.
Yeah. Do you take the under in this?
No, because I could see it being 13-10 too. It's Franklin.
No, that's what I'm saying. But do you take the under? Because it's the over right now is 44.5.
Oh, it's at 44.5? Yeah, I would take the under in that.
Yeah.
Straight up. And not in a teaser. I would take this straight
so
up.
So I put this on the screen for you guys right here because the rest of the bets will be coming. But I think I'm taking the under at 44.5 as well. Even if it's a 24-20 game, you still win by half a point. So I think it is a one-score game. I think it's close. You've got two great defenses and two offenses that at some time struggle. So I think it'll be close and it'll be fun and the ratings will be huge. But I've got Penn State going to the national championship. Next up is Ohio State at Texas. Yes, I'm saying at Texas because this is a home game for Texas here in Jerry World. Who is that talking back there? Gary. Hey, Gary, shut the fuck up, all right? God damn it, we're doing a television show. Mom, where's my meatloaf? Get off speakerphone. The way he's on speakerphone out in public is like a fucking Mexican teenager, dude. I've never seen anything like it. Just blatantly talking on speakerphone in public to people. We were like, man, I don't want to hear how many fucking tacos you want on the way home today. Okay? I don't want to hear it anymore. It's the Ohio State University at Texas. This spread has just dropped right now. Are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? 5.5?
Yeah.
God damn.
It's been at 5.5.
No, I got it at 6. I got it at 6 early on. I put a fuck ton of money on this early on. All right, 5.5. Texas fans are betting it. Who do you got in this?
Texas has no chance in this game. I legitimately think that Ohio State wins this by 2 touchdowns.
I do too. And I think it's for 2 different reasons.
It has nothing to do with how they performed against Arizona State.
No.
To be clear, I'm not like oversampling on that. I just... Texas has they have Sark. That's the number one reason, and I'm not joking about that. And then somebody, I don't know if it was Bob or Delco, mentioned before, Ryan Day usually beats mid coaches.
Yep.
Usually, right? There was an exception this year, and I think that game itself was an exception based on circumstance and injuries and stuff like that. But he usually beats mid coaches, and then Ohio State, when Texas plays a defense that's good at all three levels, they struggle to score. They struggled against Georgia, and Georgia's not anywhere close to Ohio State's level of defense.
No, not at all. And that's what I'm saying. Where do the points come from Texas? So I've seen Texas twice in real life now. You have two, I think.
Here's a prediction I'll make about Texas. Arch Manning will play in this game.
That's what I think. I think he'll play the second half.
I think he will play. I think it's like a fucking Tua situation.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Tua. Who is it? Was it Tua that came in for Jalen
Hurts? Yeah,
in
the second half. Yeah. Yep.
I think that's what it is. I think he plays the second half of this game.
I did too.
Then I don't know what happens, to be honest, because Arch adds another dimension to that game. He can run the ball like a motherfucker.
Arch is for sure going to play, but it's going to be like...
I think he's going to become the quarterback in this game. Because there's behind-the-scenes stuff going on as well. I don't know if you guys know about it, but homeboy's getting pushed out. He's not going to be playing there next year.
No. So he either has to go to the NFL, yeah. Quinn Ewers, or yeah. transfer. Yeah. Oregon has already made an offer to him.
Yeah, they offered him $5 million for 1 year, so that's probably what he should do, to be frank, to bolster, because I don't think his draft stock's that good, although this is a very weak class for draft. So
Jalen Milroe just came out for that exact reason, and so he was maybe, like, I don't want to get any better.
But either way, there's no marriage next year between Ewers and Texas, regardless of what happens. So I think that's a factor in it. And also, I think that Arch Manning is a better quarterback, too.
Sark's pretty loyal to his quarterback, so he doesn't really push his guys out.
He sure did. The game that I was at, he did it in the second quarter. I was at that Georgia game, and
he
said,
came back. So
fuck off. Well, because Arch Manning didn't play well. If he would have played well in that game, he would have continued on for the rest of the year, in my opinion. He looked lost and he looked scared. And I think if you're going to look lost and scared, and I think this is what Saban was trying to do with Tua, throw him in one of these games in the second half, especially if Ohio State's up big.
Yeah, let him get
used to it, because here's the other thing that's coming
first
next
game
year.
Of next season. Texas, Ohio State.
At Ohio State. And so Arch Manning will already have played against them in a big game on a big stage. Everybody's going to be watching that next year anyways, opening week of the season. So, yeah, that's exactly what I think is going to happen here.
Is there an over-under for passing yards for Arch Manning?
No.
There probably isn't.
There isn't.
No.
There's not, for that reason.
What about rushing yards? Because as Delco was alluding to, you do expect him, no matter, regardless of all this other shit, that he would get into the game to run the ball a couple times. Does he have like a 30-yard rushing over-under? Because if so, he's definitely going over that. I would definitely take that.
Yeah, if it exists. Is it up yet on the boards?
Let me check. Player props are usually dropped day of.
Yeah.
I will have to look back into that.
Yeah, but for me, the reason I'm taking Ohio State is two reasons. Best defense in the nation, and the offense is absolutely clicking. So with an entire offensive line out, some people ask me this in Drinker Bros Sports, why are they playing so well now? They're going five wide. You're only putting two on the right, two on the left, and then you have a center right there, and he's throwing the ball within 1.5 seconds. So let's say you decide to blitz. Great. Running back is still behind him. He goes out for a swing pass, or he goes out for a wheel route, and then you hit him. They did it with Travion Henderson and Judkins in the last game. And then what do you do with Jeremiah Smith? This kid is fucking all world. If you listen to the pre-prediction show before the season started, I said keep an eye on Jeremiah Smith. Everyone said this kid was a prodigy. All of that has come to fruition this year. You're either going to be forced to double team him, which is going to leave the run game open, and then who gives a shit about the offensive line, or they're just going to go up top to him, and then he's going to beat you. He had, 161 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter of the Oregon game? I simply don't know how you stop this kid. Now, the announcer said that he gained 20 pounds of muscle from the first Oregon game to the second one, and he's put on 20 pounds. He looks markedly bigger, so whatever the fuck is going on there, maybe it's just because he's 18 years old and he's finally growing into his body, but my God, that is a scary dude, and I don't know what you do, because the other option there is Egbuka. He's going over 1,000 yards. He's going to the first round of the draft this year, and then you got two other receivers, Tate and Ennis, who are also going first round likely in the next 2 years, so I just don't know how you stop this team right now. The only frustration as a fan is, why were they doing this all year? So I'm going heavy on this, and I'm going heavy on Penn State, and I think this is an all Big Ten national championship of Ohio State, Penn State. And before the break, when we did this show, we talked about ESPN's simulations where they did 1,000 games on AI or whatever the fuck it is. They also had Ohio State at Penn State, so I want to give them credit for
it.
Did
they do that before or after the bracket came out?
Right after the bracket came out.
Well, that makes sense then, because that's you could have predicted that, I think.
I think you could have predicted Penn State, not Ohio State.
After the first game, it became clear, I guess. Yeah, but yeah.
But
I guess.
Did it before, and like to be honest, as a fan, I thought maybe one of the two of those guys were too stubborn to change this offense, because it is night and fucking day.
Yeah.
Pun included there. Who you guys got in Ohio State versus Texas at 5.5?
Ohio State,
no question.
Yeah. Same. Only question will be the weather there.
Well, what do you think the score of that game is going to be? Well, it's indoor, though. So
no, but they're talking about potentially pushing it a day, depending upon what the roads are like.
It's not going to be that bad. Well, it's going to be really sleety tomorrow night.
The last snowstorm in Dallas was a shit show.
Oh, yeah. I guess in Dallas, it's going to be worse.
Dallas is slated for snow.
4 inches.
Well, yeah. snow
Thursday night.
Snow is better than what we're going to get. We're going to get sheets of ice on our roads tomorrow morning.
Great.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, luckily on, I think on, on Friday, the temperature goes up to like 45 midday, so it'll melt.
Here, but not in Dallas.
No, not in Dallas. Dallas is just getting snow though, right? So it's different. I would rather have snow than ice.
They're just not prepared for it, which is why I say they might push this game. Now, the Cotton Bowl's released a statement saying we're going to keep an eye on the weather and, you know, check back daily and blah, blah, blah. Man, if you push it, though, it's going to fuck up the ratings. My personal guess is they'll play this at any cost.
They
Whether
should,
or not
yeah.
the fans can get there safely.
Yeah, fuck
they don't
fans.
Give a fuck about the fans or anybody else except for that ad revenue. And that was clear. And that targeting call or lack of with Arizona State.
What do you guys think is going to be the fucking final score of this game? If you had to guess.
38-24
I think 38 right around the right answer for Ohio State. I would say more like 38-17
Okay. I'll live in that 42-17 range right now with these guys.
I think if Arch comes in, it's a different conversation.
But he came in against Georgia, and he looked like a deer in headlights. I love him, and I think he'll be great.
Yeah, he
but
did.
You can't just keep popping a kid in the second quarter or third quarter. Now, and even Texas fans, by the way, on Twitter against Arizona State were calling for Arch Manning in the second half. So, like, they love him just as much as we do.
I mean, especially when you get into OT, a guy who can also run the ball in, that makes way more sense than yours. Although yours did, I think, make some moves. But anyways, we'll see how it goes.
Last part of this, where does Ewers end up and what does he do after the season's over?
Go to the NFL.
Bob?
I don't know what college teams still need a quarterback. The market's pretty cold.
Oregon offered Oregon him does. $5 million for next
year. Okay, so Oregon. I think he goes to Oregon.
So you think he waits and can get better for the next cycle?
I mean, he's going to make more money at Oregon in a year than he would if he's like a third round pick or something.
That's
like
exactly
that.
What I said. I told this to a buddy of mine and like, hey, dude, like, yeah. I come back from an extra year. Oregon's going to be loaded. They have a blank check from Phil Knight. You're going to have all the receivers, all the fun stuff. This is what Cam Ward should have done with Ohio State and decided not to because his price tag meant too much to him. But Will Howard looks like a goddamn superstar for doing this. The last part of this is the game that I was at last year was K-State at Texas here in Texas. Will Howard, in the second half of that game, because they ended up starting Avery Johnson, had fucking 300 yards and 4 touchdowns in that one against Texas. He knows Texas. He plays Texas for the last 3 years. So he knows his team pretty well. Now, obviously they know him, but the receivers that he has now are just fucking ridiculous. So all in on Ohio State. And I'll drop that total probably tomorrow. Sorry, is that right? Yeah. I'll drop all those slips tomorrow. So that way we can get them all in. In the meantime, that 13-point teaser is still out there for my bookie, man. I'd take that. Do you see any problems with this one, Bob or Delco?
No. Let's see. Over 30, maybe over 32.
Really?
Penn State, Notre Dame.
That's a 20-13 game.
I know, but that might be a 17-3 game.
Yeah, all the other ones look fine. Okay. Over 32 is, I think you might be sweating that one.
That's the one that you're going to, if you lose this, I'm not saying you will, but if you do, it'll be that one for
so
sure.
So jack it up to 58? Should I have jacked it up to 58?
There's not one chance in hell they're going to, they could play two games together and not 58.
Yeah. I think you should have gone the other way.
Yeah, you should have went under.
Well, here was my reasoning. Like, and this is the hindsight. When I bet this, 1-6, January 6th, my favorite day, was Abdul Carter. Like, I didn't think he was going to play. So therefore, if he doesn't play, Notre Dame scores a shit ton of points. If he does, no. I still think Penn State wins it either way, with or without Abdul Carter. Same. But as far as the over-under is concerned, he fucking matters, dude. That guy is a goddamn animal and probably the best defensive player in this draft.
Yeah, he's the best player in the draft.
Maybe Travis Hunter? What do you do?
Travis Hunter will not be as good at cornerback in the NFL as he is in college. Not even close.
Yeah.
There's no way. And he's not, as a receiver, I don't really know.
Not sure either, but if I'm the just say as an NFL and obviously a Falcons fan, I want to draft Abdul Carter first.
Fuck yeah. He would be, if I got the first pick in the draft, that's who I'm taking.
Yeah, same.
But I think he's going somewhere between 4 and 6 right now. You know how NFL teams are. They're fucking crazy. That's why Mel Kiper gets so much shit every year, because he just says like, this guy's going to go here, this guy's going to go here. And people are like, oh, that guy fucking sucks. And he's being the diplomat he is. He can't say, yeah, I know he fucking sucks. Yeah. But the Cleveland Browns are retarded. Are you not taking that into account? They drafted quarterbacks for like 3 years in a row.
Also, teams become slaves to like the mock drafts, and people get pissed off when you draft somebody high. Like, remember when the Lions took Gibbs 12 or whatever?
Oh, dude. And because we were live, and I said, this is great. He is fucking awesome, dude.
There's only one, in my opinion, he's definitely a top five. The only people that are better than him are Henry and fucking Saquon. That's it. In the NFL, there's no other running back that's better than him.
Maybe Bijan, but no. Either way, you can flip flop.
Jahmyr Gibbs
cares?
Had 1,300 yards as a split back.
He did.
He could have very easily had 2,000 yards.
But he's on the second best team in the NFL, which obviously on the Falcons,
and that's why they're the second best team in the NFL,
right? But
because he's on it.
Well,
right?
They got a great coach, and he'll probably win Coach of the Year.
He should. Yeah, Campbell should definitely win Coach of the Year. Although you could give some love to Harbaugh for succeeding in first year and for. I don't even know who the coach of Denver is, actually. Oh, no, it's Sean Payton. Sean Payton. He could be in there, too.
Yeah, but I think it's Dan Campbell for sure. All right, kids, either way, it's going to be fun here Thursday and Friday nights. And then bet with us or against us. I know you will over there. What I will say, though, for Notre Dame fans, if it is Ohio State-Notre Dame, that's probably the highest rated game in college football history. So I'd be amped either way on that one. Texas Notre Dame would probably be pretty high too, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't think there's a bad choice.
No.
I just think because of, and I'm looking at this year's players, because of the sexiness of Ohio State and Jeremiah Smith and
Penn
those guys.
State, Texas is not sexy. So you're not going to get casual fans watching.
No.
Notre Dame, they could be fucking playing frisbee golf.
Yep.
And
they'll bring the ratings.
Yeah, people would fucking show up.
Bob That's and Delco's Catholics contract. Will show up. And
people love to cheer against Penn State still.
That's true.
Yeah.
Penn State could bring it out, but Texas doesn't spark any interest nationwide.
Texas, people hate Texas too.
Yeah, they do, but they're like, if it's two teams you hate playing each other, nobody's going to fucking
When the ratings that. Were really high for Texas, it was when they had superstars like Vince Young and those guys. You just don't have it on this team.
I don't know if there's a likable team left. All the teams are very hateable.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because you can all hate them for different reasons. Mm. All four of these teams you can hate for totally different reasons.
I mean, Ohio State fans, awful. Penn State fans, awful.
I think Ohio State awful. Hates Texas their entire fans, like the fans of Ohio State hate their entire coaching staff still. Now maybe that softens a little bit if they actually win the Natty. But right now, if they lose either one, if they lose this week or next week or this week or 2 weeks from now, Ryan Day's fired.
Burn it all down.
You got to fucking fire that dude.
Burn it all down.
I'm excited for him to win the Natty and them still firing Ryan Day.
Yeah, that will never happen in a million years.
Do you know how I would fucking love that?
If you're Ryan Day, though, do you take a head coaching job in the NFL and say, fuck you, Ohio State, and your fans?
Double birds.
Yeah, just double birds to the fan base, Herb Street, everybody, and just say, you know what? Fuck you. I'm coaching the Bears next year.
That'd be 2 years in a row.
Man.
Right, because Harbaugh left as well.
Yeah.
But he left with his fucking tail on fire. He had to get the fuck out.
He didn't have a choice. Yeah. That motherfucker had to go. And he's got a 5-year ban right now. Mm. Magically, they have no sanctions in Michigan. Still, we'll see this summer. But fun stuff ahead. It's a favorite time of the year. It doesn't get any better than this weekend as far as gambling and sports go. Go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away. For Dan and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the College Football Semifinal Prediction Show. Good night, everyone.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.